It is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's the afternoon as of this recording. Wednesday, September 10th at 3:33 p.m. Welcome to Nosebleeds. Tucker Austin, Brendan Shorey, Luis Andrade are here. Derek Bollier is on the sticks for us today. And guys, really quickly before we get into it, because we got a quick show today. How are you guys doing, Luis?
Doing great. You know, having a very busy day today, but I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Yeah, Brendan?
Same, very busy day, FUV filled, but could not be happier. We're in a great place in sports right now.
Yeah, definitely. Like early September, we're all getting into the grind for WFUV. We're doing a lot of stuff this fall. Very exciting. But it's also the final month of the season, the regular season, that is, for Major League Baseball. Our two New York teams are heading down the stretch here, and we'll get into both of them. But quickly first, I want to get to something that happened this morning. Unfortunately, Cubs all-time legend and Yankees legend briefly, really more of a fan favorite, Anthony Rizzo announced his retirement this morning, and this was one I think I saw coming. I think a lot of people saw it coming when he wasn't on a team to start this season. A lot of questions like, why wasn't he on a team to start this season? Because he still seemingly had a little bit of juice left in him. I'm sad to see him go, but I think overall, like 14 MLB seasons, he has a World Series, handful of Gold Gloves in there. This is a really successful career, and I think it. I just wanted to give us a chance to give Anthony Rizzo his flowers.
Yeah, you know, Anthony Rizzo, one of the most iconic players, especially on the Cubs. You know, every time you think about that 2016 World Series, you think about it when he finally gets that ball in his hand. He
puts shoves it right in his pocket.
Hands in the pocket. He goes like this. Hands in the air. He's like, he can't believe it. One of the best World Series I've ever witnessed in my life, to be honest. And also a Yankees legend. You know, as a Yankees fan, like, it hurt us to not re-sign him, but, like, he didn't fit on the team. And I just felt like, damn, we really left him in the wind there. But he just had so many electric moments with the Yankees. One of my favorite players and, like, a staple for the team for, like, that late 2010s, early 2020s team.
You know, I think, maybe did he have a little juice left? Sure. But realistically, I'm going to take a quote from LeBron where he said he's going to stop playing basketball whenever he can't play basketball to its fullest extent. And I think that's the point that Anthony Rizzo had hit. And at that point, I think this is a good move for him. I think you had a fantastic career. You mentioned at World Series, a handful of Gold Gloves. Go spend some time with your family now. You played a great career. You were a legend, at least in the Cubs books, fan favorite in the Yankees books. But go enjoy your time off now. We saw him. He was in a video on the Jumbotron at Yankee Stadium the other day, just enjoying the retired life. But fantastic career, fantastic player. Good for him.
Yeah, I miss him on the Yankees a little bit, although nothing against Paul Goldschmidt, because Goldie has been excellent this year at first base. But really, I trace Anthony Rizzo's, I suppose, his fading and just like fading out of Major League Baseball. I trace it back to the collision with Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah,
that one was nasty. I was there in person. I forget if I was covering it or if I was there as a fan, but I remember watching that moment and watching Rizzo crash into him and go down. Like, he misses time with that concussion. When he comes back, he's not the same. And I think that was like sort of the nexus point for the eventual end of his career. And clearly nobody in the majors felt like taking a bet on him this season. But, you know, hopefully he sticks around. He's been working, I think, a little bit with MLB Network. He's a really great personality, great all-around guy. His foundation, both in Chicago and in New York, have done a lot of really good work. So hopefully he sticks around in Major League Baseball in general in the future. Shout out Anthony Rizzo. But that brings us into our main slate of conversation today. We got to get into the Yankees and Mets. We'll start it with the Yankees because I'm not really sure who's in more depressing of a situation right now, the Yankees or the Mets. I don't know how it always gets down to this. Yankees and Mets fans always have like stretches of the season where they're just so in their own heads. And so we'll start with the Yankees here. They lost last night in the opener of their set with the Detroit Tigers at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees scored the first two runs of the game, but it was one of those classic games where the offense is kind of there in the early half and then goes away because they got a lead. Eventually, the Tigers tack on a couple. They only scored those two runs off of Will Warren last night. And then a familiar result, I should say, this season, which is not a good thing. Another bullpen meltdown. And this one was nuclear. This one was like next to Chernobyl levels of nuclear meltdown. Yeah. 9 runs in, I believe it was the 7th inning. Fernando Cruz and Mark Leiter Jr., between the two of them, gave up all 9 of those runs without recording an out.
Tucker, I'm starting to see a pattern. This has happened way too many times, and it's really getting to me.
A few too many for my taste.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, Will Warren, he's dealing tonight. I'm feeling it. You know, he only let up 2 runs. Fernando Cruz, you know, he's been, you know, a little iffy, but I have confidence. And I'm in the gym, and I look down at my phone, and I for like maybe half an hour, it's 12-2. I'm like, what happened? I went away for like half an hour. What are you guys doing? Like, I don't know. Just really frustrating with the Yankees. And it is the time of the year. This is like the best stretch we need to play right now. We beat the Jays. We beat the Astros. And we need to beat Detroit in the series. And also we're facing Boston after this. And then there's like a little stretch of easy baseball against those Baltimore and Minnesota and the White Sox. But this is like important. We need to come up on top of the Jays and this final stretch.
Yeah, coming in, the Yankees were 7-3 in their last 10, coming into the Tiger series, that is. And now they dropped the first one. They had a pretty hot stretch after that Red Sox series at home didn't go very well. But again, like since then, it's been kind of back to the mean again for the Yankees. Tough series there. It was against the Astros. They gave them some problems, but the Yankees still got through Houston winning the series. They won the series against the Blue Jays at home, which was huge. They picked up that game, but now you immediately lose that game to the Blue Jays because they beat the Astros in extra innings last night. And now they go from competing for the AL East, or at least like thinking they had more of a shot at the AL East, to now they're back to where they were before, where they're trying to tread water above, I guess not tread water. They are in the lead wild card spot, tied with the Red Sox at +3.5 games. But as a Yankee fan also, it feels like they're treading water above the rest of the American League.
You got to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, you look at this team, and of course, the game last night or yesterday was abysmal. But they come into this series having won 4 series in a row. You are at that top wild card spot tied with Boston. Is the wild card race tightening up? Yes. But I don't think it's necessarily time to panic until you fall down to maybe that second wild card team in a race this close. If you're sitting at the top, I think you are okay for the foreseeable future. And there's still 2 more games in the series against the Tigers. You never know which way those games could go. But it seems like this has been happening throughout the year as well, where hot stretch, cold stretch, hot stretch, cold stretch, bullpen, terrible in those cold stretches. So if they do drop the game tonight against the Tigers, I think that would be a little bit of worry to panic because it's the last time you want to get cold.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you're only 3 games behind in the AL East. Like, this is a must-win series, especially against such a big competitor like the Tigers.
Yeah, so probables tonight for game 2 at 7:05 p.m. Is Jack Flaherty versus Carlos Rodon. And I think the Yankees in the past have been able to get to Jack Flaherty a little bit. Like, when I look at the Tigers rotation, I'm more scared of Skubal, and I'm a little bit more scared of Mize, to be honest, than I am of a guy like Jack Flaherty. And then Carlos Rodon has been excellent for the Yankees this year. So odds they stop it at one here against the Tigers tonight?
I think that's a really good chance, especially Carlos Rodon. You know, he may be inconsistent, but I'm really confident in the way he's been this year. He really had a bounce back year from his first couple years with the Yankees. And as long as the offense can, you know, create something and not shut down like they did last night, I think this should be an easy win for them.
I think Yankees take it tonight, too.
Yeah, offense needs to be there for sure, and throughout the entire game. Also, just want to quickly shout out Aaron Judge, because he went yard last night and fully passed Yogi Berra on the Yankees' all-time home runs list, continues to climb that ladder. And it's something else to watch Aaron Judge play every day. Like, he swings so easy power, a little bit like Giancarlo Stanton, although he really swings the bat, so you can kind of tell how much power he's putting into it. Judge's swing looks similar every single time, and the ball just pops off his bat. So I won't give him too many flowers now for that, because, like, ideally he hits more home runs and passes more people, but I just remember early on in this year when I've gotten into a couple debates on one-on-one about whether or not Judge would be a Hall of Famer if he retired today. And this is one of those stats where I think to myself, this would tip the scales. Even without a World Series ring, this tips the scales a little bit more for me towards Hall of Famer versus not Hall of Fame.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I'm not sure if this is true, but he's also, he's in fifth place currently at all-time Yankees. I think he's two home runs behind someone else. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah,
who
I think next on the list is Joe D.
Yeah,
Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, so even then, I'm obviously biased, but I think he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer, best hitter in the AL as of now. You know, the complete league, that's a debate that could be had.
Totally unbiased opinion. He's the MVP this year. Definitely, just ignore whatever's going on the West Coast.
No,
don't really need to worry about that catcher doing whatever. I don't know. Just kind of having
really
a weird
important
season. In all honesty, Cal Raleigh is having a great season, and this is where we should mention that. I'm excited to see how that MVP race goes down the stretch. And personally, I've always been a supporter of batting average. Judge's average, his OPS is better. Even if Cal Raleigh winds up with more home runs, I think all of that has to be into account. But then you bring in the fact that Raleigh's been playing defense at catcher at an arguably gold glove level the entire season. Judge has been DHing now since that injury. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration this year with the MVP race. But let's move it over to Queens quickly. We'll talk about the Mets. Very similar, or I guess maybe not very similar, but a relatively similar situation for the New York Mets. Also in a wild card spot, although the Yankees are tied with the Red Sox for the top. The Mets occupy the bottom National League wild card slot, two games ahead of the San Francisco Giants, who have been really weirdly hot. They're 7-3 in their last 10, are the Giants, but this is a Mets segment. They're 3-7 in their last 10. So they are not having a fun time. Looking at the NL East, the Mets are now 9 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies and currently in a series against the Phillies. So actively losing ground to Philadelphia.
That division's lost.
It is. I think it's like two. It's a good loss.
You think the Phillies got it?
They've definitely got it locked up.
I think the Mets only hope for the postseason is making that wild card spot.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you know what? I would agree with that. Preseason, I also said watch out for the Phillies. Nobody believed me.
Preseason, I picked the Phillies to win the division.
Nice.
I'll stand by that.
Well done. That division's probably done for. The Mets really looking to survive the wild card now. There's
games.
A weird chance because they still have games left against the Phillies. They're currently in a series in Philadelphia. They have 2 games left in that series. Say they win both, they go to 7 games back with, I don't really feel like counting, but it's not enough to play to make up 7, especially the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, right now they're ice cold, you know, rough loss to Aaron Nola in the first game of the series. Complete shutout offense was nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, 1-0 is like an old National League score. It's
exactly
not a modern National League score.
And then they got blown out last night again, and I don't know. If I was a Mets fan, I would be concerned, because even though you guys are in a wild card spot, you're only 2 games out behind it, because the Giants are creeping up, the Reds are creeping up, even Diamondbacks, They have a good shot of making it and taking that wild card spot from them.
But this is another recent development too, which is why I was like, the Yankees and Mets fans, they always have like, there's like a recent run of bad form that suddenly brings like a dark cloud over the whole season. That's at least what it feels like for me with the Yankees, and I'm sure Mets fans can like kind of sympathize here. The Mets swept the Phillies out of New York in late August, and since then they dropped a 3-game set against the Marlins, lost 3 of 4, won a series in Detroit, but then lost a series in Cincinnati. And the Reds have been like a weirdly hot and cold team. They're getting better with their young talent, but now the Mets have dropped 4 straight, 5 of their last 6, and 2 of those, of course, being to the Phillies. They're in a bad spot. Sean Manaea pitching injured or with like loose bodies in his elbow. 3 different rookie pitchers all up from the system right now, and it might be this weekend.
This weekend.
This
yeah.
weekend they're scheduled Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All 3 of those young
against
guys are
going to
go against the Rangers, which I suppose that should be interesting.
I know. I told Yankees fans, don't worry. Mets fans, you should be concerned right now.
I think they should be more concerned than Yankees fans.
So many
are
injuries.
Right now.
You have 3 guys in your starting rotation who are rookies in Tong, Sprout, and McLean. The way that they've been hitting has just been so underwhelming recently. The way that they play against other playoff teams as well, so underwhelming. They don't give me any hope when it comes to them in the postseason at all.
Yeah, on September 8th alone, that's 2 days ago on Monday, they sent Luis Torrens to the 10-day IL. Tyler McGill, they sent to the 60-day IL for tightness in his right arm. Then yesterday, Tuesday, Frankie Montas goes to the 60-day. He's getting Tommy John surgery on his right elbow.
All this not to mention Kodai Senga, who was supposed to be your most consistent starter.
Who was hurt for like most of last year, and they were waiting for him to come back.
And he had a fantastic start to the season, but recently like they optioned him down because he was like unplayable out there.
You know, I was talking to my friend who was a big Mets fan, and I feel like this perfectly describes the kind of situation they were in. They have a series upcoming in like the last week or so of against the Marlins, and he said he was nervous about that. The bottom team in the NL East, one of the worst teams in the league, you're nervous about that as a wild card team?
That says a lot.
That says it all.
That says a lot.
And like sprinkling more on the fire here, it's Jesse Winker as well. This happened at the start of September. Winker goes to the 60-day. He's going to miss the rest of the season. And this was a guy where there were honest debates about whether or not they should bring him back for this season because he had like a pretty solid year last year. There were other options they could have gone with at that position, but they decided to stick with Winker, and now he's out for the stretch run. So, like, who knows if we'll even see him come playoff time. And that's, like, that's a whole other can of worms at this point for the Mets, because, like, now they're Mets fans should be worried about the Mets even making the playoffs right now, but if they do, how does this team stack up against the National League?
It doesn't.
Honestly, like you can't. They're gonna get swept by the Phillies if they play them. Who else is San Diego Dodgers? Like,
Dodgers.
They would not stand a chance. It's like a coughing baby versus the nuclear bomb.
I'm trying to think of like anybody in the National League who they could get by in a playoff series.
There's no one.
Actually, they have history with the Brewers recently.
Brewers do melt out in the playoffs,
so that would be an interesting series. Maybe the young guns in the starting rotation can find a way to shut down the Brewers because they haven't seen them enough, something along those lines. But yeah, the Mets are in a really tough spot. Cubs and Padres above them in the wild card as it stands. I don't think they have what it takes to get by the Padres. Maybe the Cubs.
They could play the Cubs on September 23rd next week.
Oh, so we shall see then if the Mets can stand up to the late season Cubs. I guess we've already kind of looked at the wild card standings at least a little bit, but AL leaders are the Blue Jays in the East, the Tigers in the Central, the Astros in the West, with the Yankees and Red Sox tied for the top wild card spot. The Mariners sit in the bottom wild card in the American League, 3.5 games behind both the Yankees and Red Sox. Then your Texas
out.
Rangers.
They need to watch out.
Your
watch
Texas
out for
Rangers
my Rangers.
Are at the heels. 1.5 games out. Plenty of time left in the season for them to close that gap. But a game behind the Rangers are the Cleveland Guardians, 2.5 games out, which is kind of a weird place for them to be because it seemed like they had a really, really rough season, especially compared to last year. They went to the American League Championship Series. But they still have time, I think, to get back into it. Kansas City Royals are only 4 games out. It's pretty tight in the AL, and I think I could see any of the Rangers, Guardians, Royals, or Rays getting up and jumping the Mariners out of that spot. What do you guys think?
Rangers will take it.
Yeah, I feel like the Rangers are taking it. You know, they have the talent. They have the pitching. That's going to be
A little bit of the experience, too. Some of those guys are still there from that World Series team.
Listen, too. Here's the deal right now is we have the highest payroll that is on the IL between Semien, Seager, Adolis Garcia, Nathan Eovaldi. Like, we have so many guys hurt right now who have the potential to come back, but they've coined them on the broadcast, the little rascals, because we called 4 guys up who spent most of their season in AAA. Michael Hellman, Cody Freeman, Alejandro Osuna, and Dustin Harris, and they've been paving the way. And they don't have the stats that are necessarily insane, but the Rangers have been winning ball games, and we just won the series against the Brewers yesterday. We're beating them right now in Game 3, so watch out for the Rangers.
Milwaukee leads the Central in the National League, also with the best record, I believe, in baseball. Yes, they do. I'll repeat that. The Milwaukee Brewers have the best record in baseball.
When the season started, nobody would have thought that.
There's not many. I'm smiling over here.
Yeah.
because there's not many times you could say that and be dead serious about it. But the Phillies lead the East. The Dodgers lead the West in the National League. It's the Cubs 6 games clear of the Mets in the wild card. The Padres 3 games clear of the Mets. Then the Mets. Then the San Francisco Giants 2 games behind, as I already mentioned. 3 games back are the Cincinnati Reds of the Mets in that last wild card spot. And then the Arizona Diamondbacks and the St. Louis Cardinals, weirdly enough, tied at 4.5 games back apiece. That's like the first 4 out of the wild card in the National League. I'm really only concerned about the Giants and Reds out of those two when it comes to the Mets. I mean, we got thoughts on the AL wild card, so just really quickly, can the Mets hold on here? I think they probably can. They really just need to lock in for the last couple of weeks here.
They don't have a very easy schedule.
Yeah, they do not. They're facing, after the series with the Phillies, they're facing your Rangers. Then they face the Padres. Nationals, that should be... hopefully.
Nationals and Marlins, they should handle both of those.
They also have Cubs in between the two.
Yeah, and the Cubs.
The Cubs, and especially in Chicago, that'll be interesting.
As much as I would love for them to make the playoffs, because then I would get to go to a game as a beat reporter, it doesn't look likely right now.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see if the Mets turn things around, if the Yankees can get back on track. Both these teams really need a bit of a reset after their last few games. The Mets play tonight. They have the Phillies in Philadelphia at 6:45. The Yankees have the Tigers in New York at 7:05 p.m. And that's going to do it for us today on the Nosebleeds. And for Derek Bollier, for Luis Andrade, for Brendan Shorey, I have been Tucker Austin, and the Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.